Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Southeastern Connecticut. Dennis O'Brien here, president of O'Brien Retirement, Mr. Connecticut. Hope everybody had a great week. The weather's been delightful. I guess it's supposed to be hold, the rain's supposed to hold off till Tuesday. So get out there, enjoy, go for walks and spend time with your loved one, friends, and, or just walk by yourself, whatever you prefer, you know, have a great time. Last week we, the show is called Retirement Life Retirement, Life, and Investing. And I had a lot of things happen this week I want to share with you. But I want to get back to the story I told last week about Jim and Sue McIntyre. I've been reading from a book that I'm enthralled with named by David Bach. It's called Automatic Millionaire. And I think that if you have kids, grandchildren, or just for yourself, it's $8 used on Amazon, and if you have Amazon Prime, I guess they'll ship it for free. It's probably in demand because it took a week or two to get to me, but Automatic Millionaire by David Bach. It's a quick read, but I think everybody in the country should read the book. I think it should be bedtime reading to the kids. Forget the fairy tales. Teach them. Because as I've been doing my research during the week for the show, and I do spend about 10 to 15 hours a week researching for the show, what can help people? What do people need? How can I help people save for retirement? How can I help them save? How can I lower their stress? And one of the things that has come out of this is this amazing, amazing ability. If you read this type of book, I think you'll be as thralled as I am, especially if you're having trouble saving money. And it many times doesn't come down to how much money you make. It's what's going out the door, and we'll talk about. So let's get back to the story. And once again, it's David Bach, Automatic Millionaire. You can get it on Amazon for about $8. And it's been out for 10 or 15 years. And when I read it, I went, this is what I want to be able to relay to people and everything else. If you recall last week, we were talking about Jim McIntyre, who's a middle management of a utility company. And David, the author of the book, was a young broker at the time. And if you recall, Mr. McIntyre had approached David about doing some financial planning because he said, I'm going to retire next month. And David was skeptical because this is the middle class guy with a little plastic thing in his pocket like an engineer. He's 52 and he says he's going to retire next month. And he knew between him and his wife, Sue, they weren't making more than $60,000 a year. So he was intrigued. He goes, maybe he inherited a lot of money he didn't know at the time. But as he gets into the story and talks about the techniques that his parents taught them when they first got married as newlyweds, they sat them down and said, this is how you do it. Now, I wish my parents had done this, okay? I learned a lot from them. I learned hard work and diligence and love my parents. God rest their souls. Dad passed in 11 and Mom passed in 2012. But I didn't have this conversation with them. And if you read this book, you can have this conversation because the millennials are getting married by the second. You see weddings all over town. And that's the time when you get married to sit down and have this conversation with them. And believe me, they'll look at you funny, but they will thank you the rest of their lives, just like Sue McIntyre thanked their parents. Because marriage is all love, 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 and I get it. You know, of course, you want to love the person you married. But at the core of marriage, you're creating a business partnership. And let me tell you, that is critical. And I'll tell you why I say that. When a saver marries a saver, okay, and you are either a saver or a spender, all right, there's no middle ground. You either get a dollar and save it first, or you get a dollar and you spend it first. So when a saver marries a saver, chances are you're going to have a pretty good marriage. One person has to be in control usually, but they'll be able to accumulate money, and you walk in their house, there won't be a lot of furniture or new stuff, and the car will be 10 years old. But chances are you're going to be like Jim and Sue McIntyre. You're working together. You put money away first before you spend, and then you spend, but savings comes first. When a saver marries a spender, that's when things can get interesting, because if the spender's in charge of the money, it's not going to last. You're going to have a divorce, bankruptcy, whatever. It's not going to work. The saver's going to, they're going to go crazy. And so if the saver's in charge of the checkbook and the spender agrees to the limitations and they do work together and the spender modifies the behavior, it can work. Okay. But that's to be determined. And I've seen it work many, many times. Okay. Now, you know what the third alternative is, right? When a spender marries a spender, all hell breaks loose. And excuse me for anybody who's offended by that word. All hell breaks loose, and I said it again, but that's the truth. Divorce court, bankruptcy court, credit cards out of the gazoo, and it's absolutely horrible. So the talk about money and how you spend and everything else, one young guy told me, he says, listen, when you meet a girl and you're chatting about, the first question out of his mouth is, so how much student loan debt do you have? when we were young, that was probably the last thing, you talked about. But these days it's one of those things where people need to, discuss ahead of time, because not only is a marriage a love and family and mutual respect thing, but it's also a business. It's a business, group together. So, I got off on a tangent a little bit. One more thing before we go for the first break. I had a couple come in my office. They're both spenders, okay? But they're learning. So we had one of those heart-to-heart on a Sunday afternoon. Well, yeah, I work on Sundays sometimes. 2 hours crying, yelling, screaming, recriminations, blah, blah, blah. And I told them, I said, you're going to be in bankruptcy court or divorce court if you don't stop what you're doing. Now, their cash flows are good. They have between $5,000 and $6,000 a month free cash flow coming in after taxes. But the spending's out of control. Both had credit cards, not talking to each other, leaking like crazy. And we'll talk about leaking with Jim and Sue McIntyre on the next break. I told them they weren't being honest with me because there were other things they were spending money on that they didn't tell each other. And after a lot of yelling, screaming, crying, they both came in Friday and with a budget, with everything listed, total honesty, had a lot of heart-to-hearts during the week. And I like their plan. Action speaks louder than words, and we'll see how they do. But this book, Automatic Millionaire, has given them the blueprint for success, and it can do it for you, your kids, and your grandchildren also. So we'll talk about that in the next segment. My name is Dennis O'Brien. I can be reached at 860-464-9490. Feel free to call. Bye-bye. Southeastern Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien from O'Brien Retirement in Mystic, Connecticut. My job is to help you save and invest for retirement. And we were talking about marriage and money, and want to relate a story to you. We were talking about when a saver marries a saver, okay. When a saver marries a spender, saver in charge of the checkbook. When a spender marries a spender, all hell breaks loose. I was telling you about a couple I had in my office, a lot of tears. I think they're on the road to recovery. I think we have a marriage that's going to survive and flourish. I think one of the people in the marriage has decided that they're going to be the saver, and the other one has decided to listen to her. Right? So I think we have something there. But I want to tell you a story before I move on with Jim and Sue McIntyre, because I know you guys enjoyed that story last week from some of the input I got. I was talking to a divorce attorney locally here about a few years ago, and it was after the housing crash, 08, 09, you know, the aftermath, every houses were down, a lot of houses were underwater. She said, come on over and see me. My people need your help. I said, okay. I came over one snowy morning, and we sat and talked. Not sooner I get in the office, she takes two huge blackboards, flips them over, and on the blackboards are a list of about 100, 110 couples. And I go, what's this? She goes, these are couples that are living together. The houses are underwater, and they want to get divorced. And I looked at her incredulously, like, what? She goes, yes. They might have bought a house in the last, you know, 06, 07, 08, paid $300,000 for the house. They owe $400,000. They're unhappy, blah, 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 and they want to get out of it. And I go, other than a short sale, what else are they going to do? And a short sale is basically you give the house back to the bank, and they agree to take it at that. So, so that got me. I had forgotten the story, and then I was talking to the young couple, and then doing some research on marriage and money. It really is a business enterprise. If you don't talk about money and set down, you don't have to agree all the time. There may be tears, there may be recriminations. You didn't tell me about, but get talking about it. And if you need me to mediate on a Saturday or Sunday morning, not Sunday morning, but if you need me to mediate, I'm more than happy to sit down and help you guys hash it out, save a marriage, save a life, and get going with yourselves, because we all need help from time to time. I hear a lot of different stories, and I'm there to help if they need it. And there's no financial reward for me to do it other than doing the right thing. And to me, I'm 60 years old, been doing it for 37 years. I've seen people do absolutely wonderful things with their lives financially, and I've seen people make a lot of mistakes financially with their lives. And my goal is to help in any way I can. So I just wanted to pass on that story, how marriage is also a money partnership. It's a business relationship. One person may go out and earn the money, and it used to be back in the day, 99% of it was men going out, mom stayed home, worked part-time. Now I have couples, millennium couples in their 30s, early 40s, where the woman's more talented business-wise. The man is home locally, maybe with a business, and he's waiting at the bus when the kids get off the bus. Who cares? As long as it works for you guys, no one's going to judge and no one cares. As long as you don't have any credit card debt, you're paying your bills and you're putting 10%, 15% to 20% away before you pay your bills, you're going to be fine. So let's get back to Automatic Millionaire by David Bach. Jim and Sue McIntyre, they were able to save over $2 million in their early 50s by following these few rules, and which we'll go over real quickly. Number one, always spend less than you make. So Jim's attitude was, no matter what we make, we always put $25, $50 away monthly when we first started, when we were young kids. And we put the money away, and then we kept raising it and raising it. And as we got used to it, we adjusted our spending accordingly. So the smart ones, save first, spend what's left. All right? The ones that are always behind the eight ball, no matter how much they make, spend first and then save what's left. Okay? So the key to the story and Jim and Sue's key to success was they made the savings automatic. Now, you can do that through your paycheck into your 401k. You can also do it through, I can do it in 20 minutes, set up an account for you, your kids, or your grandkids. And then 50, 100, 500, whatever your free cash flow is. If you can do $1,000 a month, great. I can ACH it out into your joint, individual, whatever account you want to open up, okay? Now, most financial advisors do not care about this type of business because there's no money in it for them, okay? And I think it's kind of dumb. Now, I'll give Bank of America credit, because when they bought Merrill Lynch, you know, Merrill Lynch, I don't think pays their brokers for assets under 250 or 500, whatever the amount is. But Bank of America did something very smart. They opened up Merrill Edge, I think they call it. And it's for the smaller investors starting out, or you know, heading into middle age. And they did not ignore that market between the banking and the more high net worth individuals later in life. And that's something that is smart the way they did it, because most brokers ignore the up-and-coming market, because, let's face it, they don't make money on kids that are starting to save money, or middle-aged couples that are starting to save money after the kids have gone to college. But it's very important that you make it automatic, according to Jim McIntyre. And that's one of the things they told the parents first, was to pay yourself first, at least an hour a day of your income. You know, if you work 8 hours, an hour is about 12%, right? 14%, whatever the number works out to, 12.5%. So basically, at least 10%. Start small, okay? I made a mistake. My kid called me the other day. No, it was about 2 months ago, and he said, Dad, I started with this internet company. They gave me stock options, okay? But they have this 401k, but they don't match. I said, well, he goes, the money's very tight. I'm making this amount of money. He's just starting out his career. He's paying rent in Queens, and he's commuting into Midtown. Money's very tight. I said, okay, let's hold off for now. But after reading Automatic Millionaire, I realized I made a mistake with my own kid. And let me explain you why I think I did. The point is when you start to automatic save, the amount is not as important as the fact that, number one, you do it, and number two, you make it automatic. Number one, you do it, and number two, you make it automatic. The amount is not that important. So I called my son about 2 weeks ago, and I said, listen, I said, I made a mistake, and I think I gave you bad advice. And he goes, how's that, Dad? And I said, I think you should start putting in 2 to 3% in your 401k, even though they're not matching and even though money's tight for you. And he goes, why? And I go, because once you start automatically doing it, and you're going to get pay increases through the years, slowly but surely you can go from 2 to 3 to 4, eventually get to 15, 20% of your income. And he goes, oh, you mean like long term? I go, exactly. I go, but the key thing is just to start. So whether you're starting at work and deferring from there, or you're starting at home, the amount doesn't matter. Just start and make it automatic. And you'll find you like it. You'll find you want to grow it. And you'll find that you're paying yourself first. So that is the key. And in the book, Jim and Sue, that was the key thing their parents told him. And Jim said, I think we started only $50 a month. You know, and it's probably in the 70s when they started it. And they went from there. So that's the second thing. Now, the third thing's a little controversial, okay? And it is, don't budget. You're too busy and you'll just get frustrated and fail. Instead, automate your financial life. When it's automatic, you can't fail. All right. Now, the part of the budgeting part, the only part I disagree on that is many times in that couple I had in on Sunday that was having a hard time, the husband's commuting to Hartford and he's leaking money because he does a Dunkin' Donuts, he buys a pack of cigarettes, and he buys lunch. So she estimated about $20 a day is leaking from his use of the debit card when he's out. So the way to get around that and have them is every time you spend a penny, anything, just write it down what you're spending, okay? Because you'll find out, and if you don't believe me, just stand outside a Henny Penny or any convenience store and watch people go in and spend money. And this is what I call the daily leak. You'll sit there and you'll watch them, and they'll get two packs of cigarettes. It was $20, $19.20, whatever they go for these days. They get a couple of coffees, a Henny Penny, you can get them for 99 cents, which is a pretty good deal, actually. But I've seen people go in there with their daily leak and do $20, $30, $35 a day. A day! If you're doing $20 a day leaking by the coffee and the lunches and everything else, $20 a day times 365 days a year, how much is that? It's between $7,000 and $8,000 a year. And some people don't have that in the bank, and they're leaking that much. So once you run the numbers, you go, holy Toledo, what am I doing to myself? So that daily leak is really, really important. The fourth thing is, be an investor, not a borrower. Investors get rich, borrowers stay poor. So this really comes down to credit card debt. If you have credit card debt, get Dave Ramsey's program, whatever it is, get on it, pay it down, cut up the cards. When this couple came in to see me the next meeting, they brought in their credit cards and handed them to me. and said, let's have a ceremony and cut them up. And that's what we did. So, you know, that was a big, big deal for them to do. Number five, buy a home. Don't rent. Renters stay poor. Homeowners and landlords build wealth. Well, if you're going to take on debt, that's the only debt I want you to take on is a mortgage. Okay? And that's a big deal, too. Number six, and this is interesting because this is cultural, okay? And another, we won't have time today, but we'll talk about why immigrants save much more money than people born here. And this one says, don't lend money to friends or family. You will lose both, and you're not a bank. But in some cultures, especially if you talk to some of the immigrants that come from other countries, that's extremely accepted and expected to help each other and through networks and family and friends, and we'll talk about that, okay? But for the most part, lending money out to people, it can be very touchy and whatnot, okay? We have a minute to go, so we'll get back on that in a second. During the week, I can be reached at 860-415-9614. My website is obrienretired.com. If you email me, I'll send you the Retirement Ten Commandments, which I'm probably going to be redoing pretty soon. And also, don't forget to take a look at David Bach's book, The Automatic Millionaire. Talk to you in a minute. Bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien from O'Brien Retirement, Mr. Connecticut. Our number to call in with a question is 860-464-9490. And we're getting back to talking about marriage and money and starting a marriage together and what you need to do. And we're talking about Jim and Sue McIntyre from David Bach's book called The Automatic Millionaire. Now, every week in David's book, he said, I meet people who... He would say, I meet people who take classes like you, but look the opposite of you. You look like a normal, middle-class guy, work hard and everything else. But some of the people that come into my office, they look very rich. But when you get into the details of what they really own, you turn out not only are they not rich, but they're broke. And he went into the story about a man who came in with a brand-new Porsche, wearing a gold Rolex, leveraged to the hilt, and the trap is he fell for the trap of looking rich instead of actually being rich. And of course, Jim joked about his 18-year-old Timex and whatnot. The crux of the book is really, Jim says, most people think when they get their paycheck, the first thing they should do is pay all their bills. And if there's anything left over, they save a few dollars. In other words, pay everyone else first and yourself last. Our parents taught us to really get ahead of the game. You turn this around, put a few dollars for yourself, then pay all your bills. Jim makes it sound so easy, Sue said, but the truth is we had to learn. And in the beginning, we tried to put ourselves on a budget, but the numbers never added up, and we started fighting. She had called her mom and she said, yes, we tried the two things, except they just said, listen, we're going to pay 10% of our money, but to pay out of their paychecks, put it in a savings account before they ever saw or had a chance to spend it. Now, if you have credit card debt already, you got to put that off and pay down the credit cards first. So that 10% goes down for the cards, and then, boom, we put it in, start putting it into savings. And cash envelopes if you need to do it that way to be real disciplined. You'd be surprised how quickly you get used to doing without that 10%. And meanwhile, it's piling up in the bank. The secret is you can't spend what you don't use, and that's what we did. They initially started at 4% of their income, slowly increased the amount, and now they save 15%. On ours, though, we oversaved about 10%, just like Mom said. The next priority is put enough so we could buy a home. Both our parents told us that their homes have been the best investments they ever made, and nothing gives you freedom and security like owning your home free and clear. But the key was owning it free and clear. In other words, you pay off your mortgage as quickly as possible. So while our friends were splurging on decorating and eating out lunch every day, we watched our spending and savings as much as we could. They made a big point of how much people waste big money on small things. You remember that, honey? She's turned to her husband. He says, yeah, the trick to getting is not being cheap and boring, but it's watching the small stuff, the little spending habits you have. You're probably better off to go without. And we realize that our small stuff like cigarettes and coffee, you know, we cut it out. And we started paying our mortgage on a biweekly basis, every 2 weeks instead of once a month. It means we had an extra payment in the year. We paid our mortgage down in 22 to 23 years instead of 30. And we got rolling. We got the amortization table, paid it off even quicker, and went to buy a second home. Just to divert from the story a little bit, I talked to a very wealthy man out on Mason's Island, which, if you're not local, it's an island where the average home goes for, you know, $1 million plus. And I asked him how he got started and what his story was. And he told me, he said, basically, when he first got out of the Army in the 50s, there were jobs everywhere in the 50s because our economy was starting to go on peacetime, and things were booming. And he says the competition from around the world wasn't there yet. So he had like 4 job offers when he came out of college. I know you current millennials can't relate to this. But he said the first thing they did was they started saving their money and putting away, you know, 10 to 15%. And he said instead of buying a single-family home, they bought a triple-decker, a three-family home. I go, I looked at him, and I go, oh, Mason's Island guy started in a triple-decker. And he goes, yeah, but he goes, we were a young couple, hadn't had kids yet, and we decided we'd buy, you know, a three-family, live in one, rent out the other two, and have someone else pay our mortgage. And I said, you know, you don't hear that too much these days anymore. And he goes, yes, but he goes, most kids should do it, and especially when they're starting out, is buy a three-family around here, New London, Pawcatuck, maybe up in Montville. They're out there, and they're for sale. And even when the state, you know, real estate taxes, the mill rates have been going up, you protect yourself from that. And then try to pay it down quicker than normal. And then when you have that paid off, go buy your house you want to live in to raise your kids and have this house for additional income and whatnot. So that's just a side story from, you know, people I've talked to and whatnot. And then the big thing was, when I read the book, first thing, he talked about the latte factor. And, you know, I kind of boo-hooed it when I first read it. But then when this couple came in Sunday and started talking about the leakage, everyday leakage, and they started running the numbers, I was just amazed by how it adds up. And I want to talk about why people have so little saved, and this is one of the things we talked about. So he goes through a conversation he has with a girl taking one of his classes, and I want to relate the conversation with you. The latte's factor based on something that happened about 10 years ago. About 15 minutes left in the class of a 4-week investment course I was teaching, a young woman named Kim raised her hand and stopped me in my tracks. David, she announced, your ideas are good in theory, but they don't have anything to do with reality. Needless to say, I did not enjoy this. I go, what do you mean? He asked her. Very easy, Kim said. You see, David, you make this idea of saving money seem easy, but in reality, it's impossible. You talk about saving $5 to $10 a day like it's no big deal, but for me, it's a big deal. In fact, it's impossible. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, I'm barely making ends meet every month. How can I possibly save $5 to $10 a day? It's not realistic. With everybody in the class nodding in agreement, I threw out the lesson plan and decided to vote the rest of the class the time we had answering Kim's question. Kim, I said, because obviously there's others in the room that feel the same way you do, let's look at what you're saying. Will you work with me here? Sure. Great. I turned to the blackboard, picked up a piece of chalk, and said, let's go through your expenses for a typical day. Walk me through everything you do in the course of a day. Well, I go to work, I answer messages from the day before. Hold on, I interrupted. What about before you get to the office? Do you start your day with coffee? The woman next to Kim looked at her and laughed. Kim, without coffee in the morning? She said, shaking her head. Not a safe thing. Kim poked her head and then turned to me. Yes, I start my day with coffee. Okay, is it coffee you make at home, or do you get it in the office for free? It quickly came out. Kim stopped at Starbucks every morning to get her coffee. Actually, she and her friend went together. It's a special girl's gift to themselves. Great. You get a regular coffee? Oh, well, no, I always get a double non-fit latte. I'm just curious, what does this cost every morning? $3.50. And is it? Do you get anything with it? Actually, I get a muffin at $1.50. Okay. I know, her friend said, because I get one too, and everybody laughed. How in the world does a muffin cost $1.50? One guy in the room yelled in the back. Well, they're fat-free, and everybody started laughing again, even Kim. Look, everybody does it. It's not a big deal. Give me a break. It's hard. I work. I should be able to treat myself to a coffee. I threw up my hands in mock surrender. It's not a big deal, Kim. Let's just keep going. What else do you do during the day? Well, I take a break at 10 a.m. with a few friends, and we go get juice. Oh, really? What does the juice cost? Well, it costs $3.95. But, Kim, you also add that brain stuff to it. You know, that Kinko Balooey stuff? And so they went on and on. And turns out Kim is spending almost $11.20 between the power bar, the juice, the muffin, and the non-latte. And this is all before noon. And so they started running the numbers and said, okay, Kim, if you put this $11.20, made your coffee and brought in a little, you know, made your muffin or whatever, and brought it in, do you know you'd be saving almost how much a day? $3,000 a year? And said, if you put this money in, retirement account and compound it at 10% for the next 40 years, you'd have $2 million. And she screamed, she goes, my lattes are costing me $2 million. So everybody in the room laughed and screamed and yelled and said, yes, yes, yes. But that's when the latte factor was born, the little leaks that go on. So what if I don't drink coffee, one guy yelled out. And then we talked about, you know, in terms of compounding and the leaks that are going on. So if you're smoking cigarettes and you're eating out all the time, you know, and I know that that adds up a lot and whatnot. So finding your latte factor, keeping a track of it, and also being smart with the little things, you learn to pay yourself first. So when we get back, we'll just sum it up, some of the stuff we talked about. We'll talk about my firm a little bit because, after all, it is me. Talk to you guys soon. Dennis O'Brien from the Retirement Life and Investing Show. And we are working from David Bach's book, The Automatic Millionaire, this morning, talking about automatic paying yourself first before you pay your bills and getting going in life. So let's get started. This is all the things you need to do today. And write them down. If you're driving, please don't write them down. But we'll go from there. Give me a call during the week at 860-415-9614 at O'BrienRetire.com, and we'll get you started, okay? Decide to pay yourself for the future. You open up a retirement account. You fund it with 10% of your gross income. Make it automatic. If you already have a retirement account, then automatically we'll put 10% in your brokerage account out of your checking account every month. If you think about it a little longer, you commit yourself to now to make it happen. Here's a way to ensure you take action. From years of firsthand experience meeting with readers of the book or at seminars, the people who write out their goals and plans generally wind up accomplishing a lot more than people who don't. So with this in mind, please go find a pen and fill out the following commitment to yourself. Okay? I'm looking at my producer. Get a pen. Get a pen. He's looking at me. Yeah, sure. Okay. The automatic millionaire promise. I, Dennis O'Brien, hereby promise myself that starting this week, I will work 1 hour a day for myself because I deserve it. Therefore, I promise to start paying myself 10% of my gross income no later than today, signed by me. You have to write this out, all right? Put this little pledge on your, tape it up to your board or wherever you work or at home at your home office and look at it and start pledging to yourself. And the big thing is, there's no catch. Say right now you start putting 10% of your gross income before taxes into your 401k or 403b. As you automate this process, you'll have more wealth than 90% of the population. That's right. Paying yourself first, just 10% of your income, can help you achieve enormous wealth. What's the catch? For some people, it's not having that 10% to spend. But how difficult is that really? Think about the latte factor. That's one. Lose the example of someone who makes $50,000 a year. If that's your annual salary and you took 10% out of each paycheck before the government got its bite into your 401k, you've set aside $5,000, partial subsidy from the government to do this, because part of it would have went out in taxes anyway. Now, if you haven't put anything aside in the course of the year and still waited to December to come up with this much money, how likely is it you have it saved, the $5,000 sitting around somewhere? Not very, as you know. But when you pay yourself first, you don't wait. The 10% is taken out of your paycheck and automatically invested for you before you even see it. You can't spend what you don't have, right? So how much would this cost you day by day? Well, let's see. An annual income of $50,000 equals to about $4,200 a month. That's $2,000 every 2 weeks, which is how most people are paid. So 10% of that, you'd have to put aside almost $200 every 2 weeks, or $14 a day. Now let's ask, how much would it cost you if you don't pay yourself first? If you invested just $200 every 2 weeks for 35 years in a retirement account, earning 10%, what would you have? And the answer has, you would have more than $1 million. Actually, $1.6 million to $1.7 million. That's what it costs you not to pay yourself first. Why this won't hurt is because some people read this and say, put aside $14 a day. Is he nuts? There's no way I could save $14 a day. If you're one of those people, don't worry. It's perfectly normal reaction. Just keep reading. In the next show, next week, we'll talk about how easy and far less painful it is than you really think it is. For you impatient types, a sneak peek at an explanation. If you put the money in a pre-tax retirement account, $14 a day actually reduces your spendable income by only $10 a day because of the taxes on the pre-tax money. So the pay-yourself formula really, really works. I've heard you should save 12%. What about more? What happens if I want to save 15% of my income? Well, here's the formula I use now. Everyone's life is different. This will give you a benchmark to shoot for or plan for. Okay, and this is brutal, okay, so don't be offended. Dead broke. If you're the dead broke crowd, don't pay yourself first. Spend more than you make, borrow money on credit cards, and carry debt you can't pay off. That's the dead broke category. You want to be there? Keep doing what you're doing. Poor. Think about paying yourself first, but don't actually do it. Spend everything you make each month and save nothing. And keep telling yourself, someday. You want to be in that category? No. Middle class. Pay yourself 5 to 10% of your gross income. You'll be in the middle class. Upper middle class. Pay yourself 10 to 15% of your gross income. That's what the upper middle class does. Rich. Pay yourself first 15 to 20% of your gross income. That's how rich people do it. And then the final category is rich enough to retire early. We got to get a cheer little button over there. Pay yourself at least 20% of your gross income. Do you see a pattern here? You go from being in debt, to rising to poor, thinking about it, to middle class, 5 or 10, upper middle class, 10 to 15, rich, 15 to 20, rich enough to retire early, 20% or more. Is that all there is? Not everybody's enthralled with the idea of paying yourself first as they should be. In fact, it makes a lot of people angry. You may be one of them. Your head may be full of reasons why you can't pay yourself first. You may be thinking right now, I need more than this. What's the secret to wealth? Where's the stock or mutual fund investment that will take care of me? How do I earn 10% a year by investing? Are those days gone? How do I buy real estate with no money down? That's the kind of advice I need. Please trust me on this. Nothing will help you achieve wealth until you decide to pay yourself first. Nothing. You can read every book, listen to every tape program, order every motivational product, subscribe to every newsletter there is, and none of it will get you anywhere if you let the government and everyone else have first crack at your paycheck before you get it. The foundation of wealth building is pay yourself first automatically, either pre-tax, after-tax, but get it going. And if you took the pledge and wrote the pledge and put it above, you have come a long way. You're well on your way to becoming 10% of the population. In the next program, we'll talk about how do you do it, where do you put the money, and all that, and we'll talk about on the investing side. That's the fun side. Investing is fun, okay? Not having money is not fun, okay? Now, I was talking to somebody, an old-timer, and he was telling me in his research that, did you know that the federal government, when they put the income tax in 1912, they promised that it would be temporary. They promised it would only be 2% or whatever the number was. And you know and I know that that went away. But they didn't actually start taking money out of your paycheck automatically until 1943. So the government learned very, very quickly. It used to be before 1943, you earned your money, whatever you made, and then you calculate what tax you own federally before 1943, and then you sent it to the feds that following April. Well, a lot of people didn't have the money because they had spent it, and the feds weren't getting their money. So what did the feds do? They instituted payroll deductions, right? They're not stupid. Everybody says, oh, the government's stupid. No, not when it comes to collecting. So you got to be as smart as the government turned into in 1943 and do what they do. So we'll talk about some of that in the next show and whatnot. And we'll also talk about why immigrants seem to save more than native-born Americans. And there's a lot of thoughts on that, and I've been reading about it on some of the sites. But wealthy people save money like this, and we're going to rehash some of the things. I got this from a book by Leanne Martha Marquise LaRoya, and she's a registered financial planner, and she wrote a book too. And she basically rehashes some of the things that David says, but it's very important to maybe talk about, you know, from her perspective a little bit before we go, and we'll get back to David's book next week. Number one, be careful about small expenses. Sound familiar? The leakage. We talked about leakage and the latte factor. Everybody can cut a little bit from your expenses. It will add up to a meaningful sum, as Susie Orban says. Focus on the future. It's very easy to spend money like getting something we like, but at the end of the day, you'll end up spending everything no matter how much you earn. Shift your focus to the future. As Tennessee Williams was quoted, you can't be young without money, but you can be young without money, but you can't be old without it. Don't buy unnecessary things. Forget new cars and new trucks. Buy them used. Pay cash. And save for them and then buy them. No payments. Put things in black and white. Write out your goals and everything you want to do. Work hard. You're going to have to work hard. Save a huge portion of your income we talked about. Make the most of sales and bargains. Invest your savings wisely. And practice the millionaire's formula, which is basically put 10 to 20% of your money away automatically. And the number 10, and this is from her, and she must have been reading David's book, where she said, close leakages. The wealthy don't ever pay for unnecessary charges. They remain very careful about the fees and charges that can be avoided. As Benjamin Franklin once said, beware of the little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship. So follow these simple practical tips for your life, and you'll be able to see the difference pretty soon. We got a minute to go, so I just want to let you know that I hope you get a grip on things. If you need help, email me. I'm more than happy to help. There's no charge. One of my goals in life is to help anybody who comes to me in any way I can. And I can give the advice, but you got to be honest and follow up in every way you do. One more thing. A lady came in to me. She has $100,000 at a local bank. She earned $150 on it last year. And we're straightening her out, too. Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye now.